Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from the Radio Ranch. This 26th day of January, can you believe that January 2017, the first month of, yes, I know it's just our calendar year, but the first month is gone? Oh, it's gone? Where did it go? I don't know. I missed a couple of the Thursdays here with you, Remnant. I apologize for that. I had to go out of town, had a death in the family, had a funeral down in Florida that we went to, and so my apologies for missing the Thursday. Had to play an archive last week, but we are coming to you from a snowy and cold Radio Ranch this day. Been on the tractor, about half the day, feeding hay to the calves and the cows. There's a fair amount of snow on the ground here, and I think we got up to about 9 or 10 degrees, maybe. The wind chill was zero or below most of today, but, you know, that's how it is. It's wintertime. Spoke with our brother Howard out in Alaska not too long ago, and spoke with another brother this week from Alaska. And, you know, 40 below out there is just the norm for this time of year, so I'm sure not complaining about single digits here at the Radio Ranch and wind chills below zero. Just wear your good wool socks and insulated pants and dress warm. And I've found a trick, too, is rotating the gloves. If you have the pickup truck out there running and the heater on, you rotate a good pair of insulated gloves down there where the heater's blowing. And every now and then you can slip in the truck and swap out your gloves. And, boy, a nice warm pair of gloves on a cool day like today was, that really hit the spot. It did. And, you know, this Florida boy's learning some things out here in Wyoming, in these Wyoming winters. I can tell you, growing up in Florida, well, I didn't grow up with winters like this, with a couple feet of snow drifts on the ground here and there. I even got the tractor stuck in a snow drift today and had to get the other one out to get it pulled out, but we were able to get that by the glory of God. He is good to us and enabled me to do that today. And you have to remember, here at the Radio Ranch, it's always been a working horse and cattle ranch. That's how the pastor had it, and by the grace of God, we've been able to continue that. And that's part of what we do, part of kind of making tents, you might say. And we continue on with that. Well, we better start out with a word of prayer before we get too far into this. And if you'll join me, then we will come together of one accord in the name of Jesus in agreement to ask God's blessings on this evening and on the Remnant. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this great day you gave us, Lord. You gave each and every one of us, Father. We thank you for the health that you've given us, for the air that you gave us to breathe, Lord, and for the ability to speak to one another, Lord, the ability to share your goodness and your mercy with those that we've come in contact with, Lord, be it on the phone or face to face. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that left that heavenly abode that was with you in the beginning, but Lord, according to your great plan, left to come down and walk this earth as a man, to redeem us, to redeem your people, your bride, from their sins. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did that. That, Lord, you considered a wretch like me worthy, as unworthy as I am. But, Lord, I am worthy because of the blood that you shed for me, and that I have repented and been washed in that blood. And I thank you for that. Oh, I thank you, Lord, from the bottom of my heart. Lord, here I am, your servant. Lord, we are all indebted to you. Lord, you use us as you see fit. Send us where you see fit, O Lord. Give us the words to say and the things to do, that it would be pleasant and pleasing to you, Lord. And with the grace and mercy you've poured out upon us, Lord, help us to share that with others. Help us to share the comfort that you've given us. Lord, help us to share the blessings you've given us, and help us to share the truths that you've opened our eyes to. Help us to share that with your remnant. Father, I ask you to be with me tonight on this broadcast. Guide and direct my words and my thoughts. Let them be your words and thoughts. We pray all this to your glory in Jesus' name, unashamedly. Amen and amen. Well, always like to do that. That's the way to start out the day, folks, as well. Hopefully you're doing that. Hopefully you're praying in the morning, starting your day right. And if you're not, you know, just set your alarm clock a little earlier. And, you know, they say 7 to 10 days of doing something, you can develop a habit. Well, develop a good habit. We didn't really talk a whole lot, and we don't really push a whole lot of New Year's resolutions. Just about a month ago, as we were wrapping up the calendar year of 2016. But a good resolution anytime is to start your day off, Christian, by reading His Word. Start your day off in prayer to the Heavenly Father. You know, before you get that coffee cup in the morning, maybe your eyes are still groggy, or this time of the year your feet might be cold on the floor as you get out of that warm bed, take just a minute to stop and realize where those blessings come from. And they come from our Heavenly Father. They come from the promise that He made our father Abraham. And our God keeps His promises. He does not lie. If He has said it, He will do it. He has done it. And so take a minute to be thankful, to thank Him, to go to Him in prayer and thank Him for the good night's sleep that you had. Ask for His blessings on your day as you go out. That's a habit you need to have. You know, there's many habits out there. Some people have habits of biting their fingernails. Some people have smoking or drinking habits. Some people have worse habits than that. One good habit, one of the many good habits we need to have, you and me both, Christian, as Christians, is to pray to our Heavenly Father, to start our day off that way. And, you know, we give you some suggestions. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray it in the morning. Start your day off that way. Pray on. Put on, I should say. John brought a great message this past Sunday reminding us that we are to put on the full armor of God. Now, I do that every morning. I put on the full armor of God. And I start out with that finally. We encourage you, if you're not familiar with that, go to our website. You can go to the archive of last Sunday's service, and that is at sfaw.org or scriptures4america.org, and click on the audio or video and look at last Sunday. You will enjoy it if you do. And what a great message that John brought in between the pastor's messages on making sure that we put on the full armor. And we are told, see, that's what we do. We don't ask God to do that for us. We are to do that. And I encourage you to do that very thing, to put it to in your prayer in the morning, to pray the Lord's Prayer, to put on the full armor of God, and pray it on your family. That's what I do. I pray it on my wife. I pray it on our children, our grandchildren, and I pray for the remnant, because that's what Ephesians 6 tells us to do. And in doing that, we are found obedient to the Word, and that is pleasing to God. It's part of our duty, part of our responsibilities. I'm hoping I can get that far in the broadcast. I've got that in my notes. Oh, it's kind of deep in my notes. There it is right there, a few pages back. But to talk about our duty as Christians and our responsibility versus someone else's in this world, in this world and day that we live in. Oh, there's lots going on. Don't really have... I will probably bring a couple. I'm hoping to talk a little bit about the inauguration a little bit later tonight. Hopefully I'll have time. And that's kind of what I wanted to lead into and get into tonight. And so maybe we'll have time to do that. But hopefully you are doing that very thing. You're praying, putting on the full armor of God, praying for the saints. Remnant, those of you that we know, those of you that place orders with us, that support us with your tithes and offerings, that call us on the phone, that get the newsletter, that get the DVD church, that get the CD ministry, those of you of the remnant that we see at camps and gatherings and that occasionally get to visit here at the church, know that we pray for you. We pray for you, the remnant, because that's our job. That's part of our responsibility. Well, we sure ask you to pray for us as well, because that's not just our responsibility being here at the church in the ministry, but it is all of our responsibilities. It is the duty of all of us to do that. And so we encourage you to do it. And it's just like the blessings of God. When we are obedient to Him, when we do the things that His Word tells us to do, we get fringe benefits. We get extras. You know, when you pray, as James says, pray for others that you may be healed. You know, it tells us in Corinthians that when God comforts you with comfort, use that to comfort others. And so, you know, there's benefits of obeying God. Tithing is the same way. When we obey that command to tithe, well, he opens up his storehouses. He sees to it that we have plenty when we are obedient to him. There's fringe benefits to being obedient to God. And how do you know these things? Well, we read the Bible. That kind of gets us into the Bible reading plan. We want to make sure, yeah, we're going to bug you this year as well. Remind you to read your Bible. We have the Bible reading plan. We've mailed it out. And, you know, we've mailed hundreds after we mailed them out to the remnant. We've had people that have ordered 10, 20 at a time to pass out. We can even get them for you generic, where it just is the Bible reading plan. We'd be glad to do that. Just ask us, and we can get those to you to share with your friends. I shared them with our local, the men don't go to our church, they go to a different Christian church here in town, but our local Wednesday morning men's prayer breakfast. I shared it with them, and I know our brother John passed them out and shared them with his Wednesday morning prayer breakfast group down there in Colorado. And so we have them. We're sending them into the prisons. We're encouraging prisoners to read their Bible. You know, we've talked about there's a new spirit in the land. We have a new president. We have a new vice president that claims Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And there just seems to be a new spirit. The press has been put in their place, or they're being put in their place. They're sure being knocked down off their so-called high and mighty tower that they thought they were on. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's almost like a second chance. And so take advantage of that, remnant. Take advantage of that. Make that New Year's resolution. Read your Bible. We have a tool that'll help you do it. And it's the Bible reading plan. It's a little different plan this year. We've got the Bible broken up into categories. And so we encourage you to read it that way. That way you're reading usually about, you're reading in one book of the Bible per week. We started out in the epistles in Romans and then went reading in Genesis, the law, and got through Genesis 27, 1 through 27, that second week. Last week it was history, reading about Joshua and into Judges. And, oh, I've read that before, but it was such an interesting read. You see the things that Joshua, and I'm hoping to bring maybe a scriptural insight on that, on, you know, Joshua 1, be strong and courageous. And I reiterate that. It's said four times there in the first part of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. That message is for you and for me. It's for my children. It's for your children. For your grandchildren. It's for you. Be strong and courageous. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Be courageous. If God is for us, who could be against us? See, we're reminded of that when we do, when we obey him, when we go back and read his word. And of course, this week we're reading the Psalms, read Psalms 12 through 14 today, but we're reading Psalms and then into Job next week. And then the second week of February, it gets into prophecy, reading from Isaiah, and then the third week into the Gospels. And then it starts all over again, and it repeats those categories. The epistles, the law, history, Psalms, poetry, prophecy, and the Gospels. And it breaks up the Bible into those categories all year long. And so our encouragement to you and my challenge to you is to do that. You know, and you may say, well, you know, I read the Bible last year. Well, guess what? I did too. And I'm reading it again this year, the good Lord willing. And the creek don't freeze too hard. You know, my from reading it last year, my life has changed. I've grown in his grace and knowledge. There's been things that have changed in my life, some for the good, some not so good. I'm growing closer to him. So now when I go back and read, I learn some new things. I know I've read through Joshua several times, but I sure saw some new things, and it got some new things pointed out to me, things that apply to me in my life. And I know that they apply to you in your life as well if you'll take the time to do that. Take the time to read. No, you'll take the time to read the paper. You'll take the time to look at the news and read your emails. You think that's more important than hearing from God Almighty? It's not. Take time to listen to Him. Take time. Make time. Make time. You can make time. You can get up 15 minutes early every day of the week. You can do that. Can you, godly man or woman? You call yourselves a Christian? Can you do that? I challenge you to do that. Before you know it, it'll be a habit. And if you miss that, oh, you'll know it. And you'll want that back. That's where we need to be, folks. That's what we want for this new year. With this new spirit in the land. That's what we want. Hey, going to invite you to church early, not at the end of the program. We'll probably invite you again on Saturday as well if you tune in for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. But we do want to encourage you to come to church Sunday. We've been playing the Timeless Truth messages a couple hours early. That really seems to help out our East Coast congregation with being able to get that message in every Sunday and it not come in the middle of the day. And so we encourage you to tune in at least 9 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 a.m. Central and 11 a.m. on the East Coast. And view a Timeless Truth message from our pastor. And then stay tuned, because the second hour, we're changing things up a little bit. We have a guest speaker scheduled to come in this week, and the weather looks good enough that he should be able to make it in. And so we encourage you to tune in on Sunday morning. Tune in. It's a way that you, again, can make your obedience complete in not disavowing the fellowship, in fellowshipping with the remnant, in gathering with the remnant. And you will be encouraged. And, you know, it'll supernaturally and spiritually encourage us, knowing that you're there. It will. And so we have a guest speaker Sunday, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. I'm looking forward to it. I'm taking my notepad, and I'm looking forward to hearing it and being edified and taking notes. Because I know the Holy Spirit-filled man. I know that he loves the Lord, and he's been given a message to give to us, and I'm part of us. And so I'm looking forward to it. I hope that you are too. I hope that you are too. Well, I need to get a quick drink of water. Got a song I think I'll play. And been fighting a little croaky voice. Kind of tough. We went last week from 20 degrees out here down to 82 degrees in Central Florida. Did that last week and was gone all week and sure enjoyed the good weather. Didn't care for the circumstances that we had to go down there, but we did enjoy the good weather and the time of fellowship with family and the ability to pray with and for family, and the ability to hopefully encourage and edify the family in the loss of our uncle. Talked with our cousins about the loss of their dad, but you know, he was a Christian. And what a comfort, and I heard that several times last week, what a comfort to know that, well, our Uncle James, he told his daughter he knew where he was going. He knew his Lord Jesus. Well, let's see if I can get that song here. I got it here somewhere. Where is it? Oh, we'll get to it in a minute. Not yet. Wanted to talk a little bit tonight. Not really a Bible study, but part. I've got some scriptures. I'd encourage you to write them down. They're good ones to have. If you get a little notepad, just write them down. I'm going to read some of them, but you can look them up later. They're good scriptures to have. If I had to title this, I guess I'd call it In Jesus' Name. In the name of Jesus. And, you know, we hear these names. You know, used to, you'd see some old black and white movies, and they would say, halt. The police would be after them, halt, in the name of the law. Because that police officer, he might not be 6'7", or he might not be a sprinter where he could chase you down. But he had the authority in the name of the law. And a lot of times, you know, back when we were a lawful society, because we're a lawless society today. But back when we were a lawful society, that name, that carried weight. That carried power and authority. When the laws of God were the laws of the land. And that's how this Christian nation was founded on, a Christian ethic and Christian laws and the Christian word. And it was founded to further the Christianity. Not religion, but Christianity. And so I just want to talk to you a little bit, share a few things with you tonight about the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I guess one of the first scriptures I want to start at is in Acts 4:12. And that's one we all need to know. And you know, we heard part of it the other night, but we're going to hear it again tonight. Acts 4:12, and it says, "And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." No other name. And that name is not Yahawashua. It's not Yahuhushiwi. It's not Yahashua. It's not Yahshua. It's not anything like that. That name is Jesus Christ. And it's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. You don't have to have great knowledge. You don't have to do Greek studies and Hebrew studies and Aramaic studies and all that. That really has been put to rest. I hope that it has in your life as well, in your Christian walk with Jesus Christ. The name is Jesus Christ. Well, we need to be familiar with that. We need to know that name and that person. And we need to know what "in the name of Jesus" really means. It's kind of like in those old black and white movies, and some of the older remnant that might be tuning in, you remember hearing those things. You know, even in the older days, some, like the old Robin Hood movies, you'd hear "in the name of the king." Now that might have been a godly king or an ungodly king, but it still carried weight and authority, because that was the proper authority. That was the authority of the day. Just like in the old black and white movies, you'd hear, "In the name of the law, halt! In the name of the law." Well, in the name of Jesus, there's still power and authority today. There is salvation in no one else. There is salvation. There is the power to save you from your sins, the power to save you from your sicknesses. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. The power that brought Lazarus out from the grave. That power is in the name of Jesus. We have to remember that. Just like we've heard and felt and had people talk about that, it seems like there's a new spirit in the land. Well, there can be a new understanding, not really a new understanding, but just a reiteration, a reminding of how things really are for the Christian. It's a promise that's given to God, that's given from God to His people. In Acts 2:38, that's where we're going to go. Yep, talks about baptism, talks about a lot of things. Let's read it. "And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" See, Peter didn't tell them to be baptized in the name of anything else but Jesus Christ. And when we do, well, we can have the forgiveness of our sins. We do receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not the end. Baptism is not the end. That's a new beginning for a Christian to walk in the name of Jesus. A new beginning, not an end. Not an end. You know, we have to remember in John 1:1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I encourage you to read that first, just that first little bit of John. Read that sometime, just in addition to your Bible reading, and think about that, ponder about that. In the beginning, we know in the beginning, back in Genesis 1:1, it's because God was, God always has been, and God created. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And of course, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the Word. He is God, our God. Sometimes it warps the mind. You know, our simple minds just, you know, we can't wrap around that sometimes, and that's okay. You know, if we understood everything about God, if we could write it all out the way God did, we would be God, and we're not. And so it's okay. Sometimes we just have to go on faith. We have to read it and believe it. That's part of our duty, part of our responsibility, reading it, believing it, having the faith to believe it. You know, a little tangent here. We have not seen Jesus Christ, but yet we believe Him. We base our whole lives on Him. We base our actions, what we do, what we don't do, what we say, what we don't say, how we act, what we tell other people, based on this person we have not seen, but we believe. There's a whole lot more to that belief than just that thought, than it being just a thought. We have to remember that. And that's kind of where that faith comes in. The Bible addresses that. Not going to get off into that too much tonight. We're about halfway through the program. I'm on page 2 of my notes. I better keep going. And so I encourage you again, read John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that Word that was in the beginning, that was with God, and that was God, that is God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and His name is Jesus Christ. That first man, Adam, became a living soul, 1 Corinthians 15:45 tells us, and the last Adam was that life-giving spirit. The last Adam was that Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, see, Jesus didn't just have all this and keep it. No, He came to be the example for us. He came to face all sin and temptation and to not sin, to be that example for us. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, let me read that. That's another verse to write down. A little bit there in John. We started out in Acts 4:12, Acts 2:38. John 1:1, and then John 1:14, 1 Corinthians 15:45, talking about Adam, and now Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now see, that does not contradict Acts 2:38, where Peter said, "Repent and let you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Because we have to remember that name of Jesus Christ is the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as Christ commanded in Matthew 28:18-20. And so He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven." And then in John 17:26, He says, "I have made thy name known to them and will make it known, that the love whereof thou didst love me may be in them and I in them." And so it's out of love that He did this. And we have to remember that He was given all authority in heaven and on earth. And then He tells us in His name to go out and to make disciples of all the nations, to baptize them and to teach them to observe all that He commanded us to do. And you know, that ties, that to me, it leads right into Luke 10. And I want to go there next. Luke 10, I think I might come back to some of this. And you know, we've got these notes written out for you if you'd care for them, just on the name of Jesus. Some of this comes from that. It's a printout from an older article that we did way back over 10 years ago we put out that talks about the name of Jesus just gives biblical references and fruit to it. But we see in Matthew 28 that all authority was given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. And then in Luke 10, that's the next verse. Luke 10, we're going to pick it up in verse 6. And Jesus Christ says, "The one who listens to you listens to me." You know, if you heard Ralph on the Hope is Alive program last night, he said he had the opportunity to witness, felt the Holy Spirit come upon him, and he had the opportunity to witness Jesus Christ to some people. And so those people that were listening to him were listening to Christ, were listening to the Holy Spirit. That's how that works. And you know, when we're reading his word, when we're obeying his word, when we're doing what he tells us to do and putting forth his word as we are right now, guess what? It's him through us. We are nothing, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus Christ working through us. Luke 10, verse 6. "The one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." See, another reiteration that Jesus is of God. And the things that he says is of God. We read on Luke 10, verse 16. I missed the one there. Verse 17. "And the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" See, that's the 70 that Jesus sent out. They returned. In verse 18, Jesus said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority. Now that's red letter. That's the words of Jesus. Remember Matthew 28, 18? Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And in Luke 10, 19, he says, "Behold, I have given you authority." We have to remember, it's in Jesus' name. But sometimes we forget that. We forget that as baptized believers, as repentant, obedient believers, perfect? No. Working out our salvation with fear and trembling? Yes. Obedient to him as much as we can, as much as been revealed to us? Yes. Well, this is for us. Luke 10, 19. "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you." Oh, but I still get aches and pains. Oh, but those bad guys still carry guns, and oh this and oh that. No, those things are lies if they contradict Luke 10, 19. Because Luke 10, 19 is truth. We read on. There's a little bit more in Luke 10 I want to get to. Luke 10, 20. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." And see, here we're given a hierarchy. Here we're given what's important. What's more important? It's all important. But what's more important? Well, rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. See, that's for eternity. That's that Lamb's Book of Life. And John brought excellent messages and newsletter articles last year on that Lamb's Book of Life. We can rejoice that our names are recorded in heaven. Now we have to stay the course. We still have to do the deeds here, because we're still judged on those deeds. But our name is recorded there. And we have been given authority. The same authority that was given to Christ. And we have to remember that when it's in Jesus' name. There's power there. There's power to command. Well, maybe we'll come back to that. In John 14, 10, he says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me?" And I hope this is tying together for you. It's making a little sense to me as I'm going back over it again. There's a good bit there to believe. We are to believe, but that's just a beginning as well. That's not the end. Just like baptism is not the end, it's a new beginning. You certainly have to believe to be properly baptized. And that's what we do have to do. We do have to believe. We do have to repent and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then that's a new life. Then there's a whole, you know, and then we step into a new grade, you might say. Not that we're higher or better, but just a, you know, new responsibilities, new teachings, new learnings. John 14:10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Now see, this ties together. The Father abiding in Christ gave him the authority in heaven and on earth, and he, by the power of the Father that it was in him, that is in him, in Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I have given you authority. I remember pastor teaching on this when the movie The Lion King came out. And he watched it, and oh, how, you know, our enemies, oh, they seem so smart, and they seem those that rule and come up with all the movies in Hollywood. And, oh, they, you know, we love to go to the movies and watch them. Don't say that you don't, because you do. We do as well. Lord, forgive us. We confess our sin among the brethren. But, oh, it seems like they come up with all this stuff. They get it all from the Bible. The Lion King, I remember our pastor talking and teaching on that, and you know, it's an old children's cartoon, but it is. And the one part that he said that, you know, the young Lion King comes to the realization, he says, wait a minute, I ain't no meerkat. I'm a lion. And see, Remnant, we need to realize that. Oh yes, we're nothing in ourselves. We're nothing of ourselves. But we have been given authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, those things that come in our lives, be it physical or spiritual, that come in our lives to bite us, to harm us, that try to kill us, that try to steal, kill, and destroy, which is what the enemy does. We have been given that authority from Christ. He, in Matthew 28, was given that authority by God the Heavenly Father. He talks about it again. We're reading here in John 14. John 14:11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Now, that's hard for me to comprehend sometimes. I believe it because the Word says it. Now, I don't exactly understand it. I don't understand how I could do greater works than him, but I believe it. And see, that's okay. I don't have to understand it to believe it. I believe it because it's in the Word. In verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, those go hand in hand. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. You know, James talks about it in James 1:1. I got to keep going here. I'm not going to have time to get through this. In verse 5, he says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I want to ask you out there, Remnant, just ask yourself, have I asked God for wisdom? If you haven't, let's do it right now. Heavenly Father, we read your word, Lord. Your word is true. It says, but if any of us lack wisdom, let us ask you, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So, Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, give wisdom to John as he leads this ministry, Lord, under you, the leader. And, Lord, give Jason wisdom. And I ask for wisdom, Lord. And I ask for wisdom for all of our people at church, Lord. And I ask for wisdom for the congregation, Lord, for the Acres of Diamonds men and the Gideon elite. Lord, I ask for wisdom for your people. And I ask that they would ask you for wisdom. And if we ask, you will give it. And we thank you for giving it. In Jesus' name, amen. It really is as simple as that. And verse 6 of James 1 says, now, but let him ask without any doubting, in Jesus' name, I'll add. Let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man. But see, when we ask believing, there's that belief. Now that belief and faith, you know, again, it's more than just a thought. It's actions. It's asking in faith without doubting. So when you get that wisdom, do godly things with it. It'll be godly wisdom. It'll be wisdom from above. I encourage you to read James 4. I don't know that we have time for it. But as I say, I've only got about 15 minutes left. But James 4 starts out in verse 3, says, "You ask and do not receive." Now, wait a minute. He just said, ask and he'll give it. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name," in John 14, "that I will do." Well, James 4 kind of clarifies that. It doesn't negate it. It doesn't contradict it. It just clarifies it. It says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your pleasures." So see, here to me is a nugget, a little nugget, a side teaching, training, a nugget that you don't always expect to find. If you ask and you do not receive, if your prayers aren't answered, how about that? Check your motives. Check your motives, because that's what James 4:3 tells us. Check your motives. Now that's between you and God. This is just to help you along that line. But if you ask and do not receive, check your motives. That's what it says. Doesn't mean you're a sinner. Although we're all sinners. The Bible tells us that. Thank God we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. A mediator between God and us. We're to be repentant sinners. So read James 4. Read the rest of it. You know, verse 7 to 12 talks about our duty. Our duty. In Jesus' name. To the glory of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, did you see the inauguration? You know, today's the 26th. The inauguration was, what, last Friday? And I got to watch it. You know, we were wrapping up things in Florida and got to watch it. You know, I was impressed. I was. You know, it was a godly inauguration. Not perfect, no, but, you know, when it comes to inaugurations, oh, they've had people pray before. And they've had, their hands on the Bible before. But when you, if you watched it, There were four, I think. I think a total of six that came up and prayed. You know, you just had the cardinal and archbishop from Timothy Michael Dolan from, now of course I know he's Catholic, but from New York. But he came up and prayed. And you know, I believe he prayed in Jesus' name. And you had the Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, the National Hispanic Christian Leadership of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. And you know, if they're Christian, I believe they believe in Jesus. And he came up and read from Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, and he read the words of Jesus Christ out of the Bible. I was encouraged by that. And he prayed in Jesus' name. And yes, of course, had so-called Pastor Paula White, one of the female prosperity preachers, so to speak, from Florida that came and talked. But you know, when you go back and look at even what she prayed, she said she had sought godly wisdom from some of her mentors, and she prayed in Jesus' name. And these that prayed asked for the blessings of God in Jesus' name to come upon our new president and to come upon our nation. And you know, Franklin Graham got up after the swearing in and that type, and a couple, I wrote down a couple notes that he had. He read from 1 Timothy 2, and I don't think I printed those. Let's flip over there. 1 Timothy 2, we've still got a minute. And let's go over there. And I encourage you, Again, write this down if you haven't had a chance to hear it. Sometimes I know the shortwave's in and out, but it's 1 Timothy 2. And we'll start in verse 3. That's 2 Timothy. Whoop. That's why I write them down earlier. 1 Timothy. Starting in, let's see, where are we at? Verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. That's one. It's 1 Timothy 2. Let's go over there. First of all, then, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and good, quiet life in all goodliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if you believe the Bible, if you believe the writings of Paul, if you believe the first letter of Paul to Timothy, which is in our Bible today, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. We kind of started this broadcast out, and I reminded you, remnant, that we pray for you. We lift up prayers and petitions and thanksgivings on behalf of you, and we ask that you pray for us. We're kind of here on the front line. Sometimes the bombs come in. You know, when you're on the front line, you sometimes get the flak. Now, we know greater is he that is for us than anything that comes against us. We know that. We believe it. But the word says to pray. And Paul says right here, pray for kings and all who are in authority. I liked seeing. I mean, I would have preferred to have seen others. But you know, they didn't call me and ask me to set this up. And they didn't call you either. This is how God set it up. And these people came and prayed, and Franklin Graham read this from 1 Timothy 2. And you know, when you see verse 5, the next verse, for there is one God and one mediator, and this was read to the millions of people that were watching. Franklin Graham had a captive audience. He had an audience from people all around the world and all around here, and like him or not, this is what he read. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And he reminded us, and he said there is one mediator, and that the only way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. Now praise God for that. That's better. That's better than 4 years ago. That's better than 8 years ago. That's better than 12 years ago. That's better than 16 years ago. It's better. And better is better. You know, see, we're running out of time. Only got a couple minutes here. And I just want to wrap up with this. They prayed in Jesus' name. We've read through scriptures. We've been given authority in Jesus' name. There's power there. We need to make sure we understand that, that we believe it, and that we use it. That we use it, that we check our motives. You can read. We gave you scriptures to read on that, right? James 4, check your motives when we use it. We use it to His glory. We use it for His will. He's waiting. He's waiting and wanting to bless us with that. Last couple things here. The responsibility of our president is to run the country, right? He's to run the country to help business and not to, you know, to limit government. And, you know, he has his duties and responsibilities. Now, one of his duties and responsibilities is to fear God. If you're reading in Psalms, when you read, I know when I read Psalm, the first bit of Psalms, the first part of this week, in Psalms 2, let's see here, Psalms 2, verse 10. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way. for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. I saw homage to the Son in the inauguration. And I was happy to see that. Now, how about our responsibility? You know, it's not our president's responsibility for revival in this land. He's got a different job. He's got a different duty. He's got a different responsibility. That's our responsibility. You know, if you go back, looking at the time, think I got a minute here. If you go all the way back to Ezra 10, verse 4. And, you know, this was a time of the people were doing wrong. And the people came to the prophet, and they basically said, take responsibility and act. So I encourage you to go back and read that. That's Ezra, I think it's 10:4. And see, that's our duty. It is our duty to obey God. It is our duty to pray for the saints and for the leaders, our church leaders, and our civil leaders, our leaders in, not only in the church, but in the civil government as well. And I've got a whole list of scriptures that talk about praying for our leaders. I'd be glad to send it to you if you want. Contact us and say, hey, Richard, send me that list of scriptures where it says to pray for our leaders. Maybe we'll get it in the next newsletter. That'd be a good way to get it out to everybody. Well, folks, we are running out of time. Revival, basically, that's up to us. When we repent, when we return to God in Jesus' name, we say we love him, keep his commandments. That's what he tells us to do. When we do that, see, that's our responsibility. We will see revival in the land. Well, didn't get to this song. We're going to go out with it now. Hope we have time for it. Thanks again. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And you can email us at preacher@sfaw.com. Thanks for tuning in.
I'll call him Jesus. That's a name that works for me. That's a name that washed me, redeemed me, set me free. That's a name my grandpa preached about. The name that drives Satan out. The name of Jesus works for me. Well, the world pretends to be educated, so they say you gotta say it this or that way. Well, the world may say I'm dumb, but can you tell me one thing? Why does Jesus answer anyway? So I'll call him Jesus. That's a name that works for me. That's a name that washed me, redeemed me, set me free. That's a name my grandpa preached about. The name that drives Satan out. The name of Jesus works for me. In the name of Jesus, I sought forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, it was granted to me. Sins forgiven, washed by the blood. Jesus on the cross because of his love. And in that name, they baptized me. And my God's mighty powerful. Yet he speaks to me in a still, small voice. In all my prayers, I've never heard him say, you're saying it wrong, won't you say it this way? But instead, he comforts me. So I'll call him Jesus. That's a name that works for me. That's a name that washed me, redeemed me, set me free. That's a name my grandpa preached about. The name that drives Satan out. The name of Jesus works for me. So I'll call him Jesus. That's a name that works for me. That's a name that washed me, redeemed me, set me free. That's a name my grandpa preached about. The name that drives Satan out. The name of Jesus works for me. The name of Jesus works for me.